great honor
for us to have with us President and Sister Smith, who have come down from Salt Lake City. President Joseph Fielding Smith is going to speak to us this evening, giving the dedication address and prayer. President Smith is a great person for all of us to hear, and it's an honor for me at this time to introduce Brother Smith.
Mr. Chairman, brethren and sisters, first of all, I want to thank Brother Summerhays for his part in bringing to pass this wonderful planetarium. I want to congratulate the Brigham Young University in having it. It's a great asset to this university. No one in the world should be more interested in the heavens than the Latter-day Saints. From the knowledge that has come to us through the revelations of the Lord, as they have been made known through the revelations to the prophet Joseph Smith, we have a better understanding of the heavens than any other people upon the face of the earth. The prophet, in preparing the Egyptian alphabet, said, Kolob, this is a quotation, is the first degree, in the first degree. It signifies the first great grand governing fixed star, which is the farthest that ever was discovered by Methuselah and also Abraham. Kolob is in the second degree. It signifies the wonder of Abraham, the eldest of all the stars, the greatest body of the heavenly bodies that ever was discovered by man. That's from this publication that I speak of, that we have in the historian's office. Page 32 and 34. The ancient inhabitants of the earth who had the inspiration of the Almighty had a perfect understanding concerning the heavenly bodies. The Lord taught them. They did not have great telescopes like we have, nor other instruments, but they had something that was far better, the Urim and Thummim. And the Lord made the heavens known to them according to their desires and their faith. And the antediluvians those who are faithful to the Lord had revealed to them many things concerning the planets and the fixed stars, as we want to call them. Ancient peoples also had a fairly good understanding of the shape of the earth and the revolutions of the stars around the earth and the nature of these stars. And they were not as ignorant as some people think they were. In the Middle Ages, or at the time when Columbus went forth with the idea that he could travel west and come to the east, the people of his day ridiculed it. And they had the idea that the earth was flat and the center of the universe. But that was not so in the beginning. Nor was that the idea that was possessed by all the peoples of the earth at that particular period. The Arabians were astronomers. They lived out in the open and studied the stars. It was due to apostasy and the turning away from the revelations of the Lord that caused that terrible condition to exist that we sometimes referred to as the Dark Ages. That the heavenly bodies were known anciently, we have some references in the Bible. Job speaks in one of his discourses in his own defense against his friends of Arcturus, Orion, the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. Now, I don't know exactly what the chambers of the south were, but evidently Job did. And I'm sure that Job knew that these great bodies were worlds, heavenly worlds that the Lord had placed where they were. The Psalms, as we've already heard, speak of the heavens. And evidently, in the days of David, they had some understanding of the nature of the stars. I think we've already had quoted, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Now, I might maybe use a little imagination here, and perhaps it isn't all imagination, but when the psalmist speaks of the stars uttering speech and having a language, perhaps there's more to it then we know. I just leave that thought with you. We learn more from the book of Abraham in regard to the heavenly bodies than we do from any other of our ancient scriptures. Although the Nephites were acquainted with the fact that the stars were great worlds, that the earth revolved around the sun, Mormon, in commenting upon conditions that existed at one period in the history of the Nephites, calls attention to these things. And so they, as well as the people of Israel and the people before the days of Israel, knew a great deal about the heavenly bodies. When Abraham went down into Egypt, he taught astronomy. So we are informed. And the Egyptians had some clear ideas in regard to the universe. And the Lord God spake unto Moses, saying, the heavens, they are many, and they cannot be numbered unto man, but they are numbered unto me, for they are mine. And as one earth shall pass away, and the heavens thereof, even so shall another come. And there is no end to my works, neither to my words. For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Now, what do we gather from this? That we today are passing through a period as human beings in our earth, as a earth, what others have passed through for ages and ages before our earth came into existence. Worlds created, peopled. They have gone through their mortal probation and been exalted. No doubt, with their inhabitants. And they've gone on to their glory. We are now in that stage of preparation called mortality. We're living on a mortal earth. We are mortal. We partake of the same elements which the earth produces for our sustenance. And when this earth has finished the measure, that measure of its creation, which is temporal, and the Lord speaks of the temporal creation of the earth, then it too will be exalted and take its place, as President Brigham Young has said, in its proper place among the heavenly bodies. Celestialized, never to die again. The earth will have to die, like all things on it, have to die. It will receive its resurrection, and we learn that from section 88 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Also, from other sections of the Doctrine and Covenants. And it is destined to become a celestial world to shine like the sun. And may I say, too, at this point, we're not all going to inhabit it. When I say we, I'm not speaking of you good people here. I'm speaking of the inhabitants of the earth. I am confronted with this thought sometimes by some of our good brothers and sisters. This earth is contains and does, will contain so many inhabitants that when it gets celestialized, there won't be a place for them all. Orson Pratt figured all that out one time, and he was a great mathematician, and said there would be a certain number of acres, which I don't now recall, for every inhabitant. But we must not lose sight of the fact that only a small proportion of this earth's inhabitants will inhabit this earth when it becomes celestialized. If any of you want to live a telestial law, then you will go to a telestial world. If any of you desire a terrestrial world, you'll go to a terrestrial world. But it'll only be those who are entitled to a place in celestial glory that will remain. Now, I'm not going to take time to give you evidence for that. I just present it and ask you to accept it as being the fact. For it is clearly declared in the revelations of the Lord. Now, I think the Lord wants us to learn something about the heavenly bodies. But there are some things He doesn't want us to know. I think it's right for us to learn about their distance, how they're composed, what they're made of, how far away they are, and other things of that matter. But there are some things regarding them, and that largely would be in relation to their inhabitants, that the Lord has not revealed. And at this stage of our history, He's not going to reveal. For He said to Moses, after giving Moses this information in regard to the heavenly bodies, but only an account of this earth and the inhabitants thereof give I unto you. For behold, there are many worlds that have passed away by the word of my power, and there are many that now stand. And innumerable are they unto men, but all things are numbered unto me. For they are mine, and I know them. So, we're confined to this earth until the day comes when the earth is exalted. The Lord placed us here, and that's where we belong, and that's where I think we're going to stay. For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. That's the great work of the Lord. He increases his dominions by building worlds and peopling them with his posterity. And there's no beginning, he says, and no end to his work. The Lord gave further light to Abraham concerning the creations, their times and their seasons, and their relations to each other. Kolob is nearest to his throne and is the governing star of the stars which belong to the order to which our earth is a member. Now, if anybody can find the star that governs the earth and other heavenly bodies that belong to our system, they might be able to discover Kolob. But I don't think the Lord wants us at this particular time to discover Kolob. Another thought. The Lord told Moses that the moon, our moon, we call it our moon, doesn't belong to us, is of a higher order than our earth in its point of reckoning. Our day is only 24 hours according to our time. The moon's time is something like 28 days. So it's a higher order. Perhaps it would be well for earth people to mind their own business. This is my thought. And let the moon alone. The Lord placed us on this earth and confined us to it, at least till we die. The matter of Sputniks and explorers may be beyond our jurisdiction, so far as traveling as planets in space is concerned. I wonder if the Lord does not laugh at our foolishness as he did at those who attempted to build the Tower of Babel to get to heaven. Now, of course, if the times come when the Lord wants somebody from this earth to visit the moon, pay it a visit, I suppose he will let that be done. But my way of thinking is that the moon is none of our business. And I'm not putting in a claim for any acreage upon it. Now, of course, there are many things I don't know. That's strange, isn't it? Many things you don't know. And perhaps, I don't know, the Lord might permit somebody to make a trip to the moon. But I don't believe he will. And I don't know how they're going to get back when they once get there. So I expressed my own thought again. I think we on this earth ought to mind our own business. And when the Lord wants us to visit the moon, he'll make it known. Now these are my personal views. We have evidence in the great calendar stone that's in Mexico City, that the ancient inhabitants of this world had a pretty good understanding of the heavens. They must have known something, of course, about the orbits of the planets and of the earth, the relationship of the earth to the sun, just as Mormon says the Nephites did. Well, they never could have made such a wonderful instrument, if I may call it an instrument, as that great calendar stone. The reason in the days of Columbus the people got so confused about the universe and tried to make this earth its center was due to their apostasy from the truth. Peoples before them understood the heavens. People today understand the heavens to some extent. And of course all people say it has been to some extent, because the Lord has never given us a full revelation. I don't think we could quite understand or maybe receive from him a correct understanding if we should make it known to us. We receive line upon line and precept upon precept, and the Lord reveals a little here and a little there. But he has not felt to open up the heavens and give us the understanding. Only one or two have had that great privilege, like Abraham. Personally, I'm content to receive that which the Lord is willing to give. I'm always interested in the discoveries men make, both of things on this earth and things in the heavens. But how they're controlled, their purpose, that's the business of the Lord, and he has revealed some of it to us. And beyond what he has revealed, it seems to me, we cannot go. Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.